I was in Sunday school, in our Tuesday night sessions, we had a study on Isaiah chapter 18, and it brought up an interesting concept, and I thought, and some other thoughts, it fed into what we're doing today, so I thought I'd bring that up. When we talk about Israel's offerings and our offerings, a couple of things come to mind, I think. Israel's offerings we think of their spiritual offerings, of their sacrifices, don't we? In fact, I got some. That sounded really loud there. If I get too loud, let me know. I'll turn it down again. But they have these five different offerings, and you can see for sin offerings, for peace offering, trespass offering, meal offerings, burnt offerings. They have all these different sacrifices, if you will, and offerings. So that's what you think of when you think of Israel's offerings to God. And in fact, it's in there, like I said, 649 times you can find offerings. And 80% of the time it's going to be about what we're talking about right there. Their sacrifices that they were supposed to do five different times they were supposed to do these offerings, and for different functions. When we think of our offerings, you know, I think our mind, at least mine does, it goes to, it's usually a financial offering, isn't it? But this is not a tithing sermon here, and it's just like the sacrifices that Israel did. In our day, these offerings are talking about something else. And not always, but the finance offerings, yes, absolutely true to our day. But there's other offerings. And I wanted to get into that point, and I wanted to first start with the one in Israel. Israel's offerings. And I have here Isaiah, what we were talking about. Woe unto the land with shadowing wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And you could substitute Ethiopia there and say Cush, because that's a lot of translations would give you Cush. And I don't have the, yes, I do have a map here, right there, Cush, down there. And so something beyond the land of Ethiopia or Cush, these ambassadors are going to come forth. Sendeth ambassadors by the sea. And you'll read some commentaries and say, some nation is going to be, you know, these are 1800s. Some nation is going to be good on the seas, and they're going to be good in boats. Well, you know, I think most certainly, you know, you don't have to be of the restoration. Of course, the restoration was the first to point out that Israel was going to come back into their land. Israel was going to have the gospel again. So they said, hey, the ambassadors are us. So restoration was the first to point that out, but now there's others, and you pull up this and you do this prophecy, and you'll see others around the world with this prophecy. Beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that sendeth ambassadors by the sea, even vessels with bulrushes upon the waters, saying, go ye swift messengers to a land, a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrible from the beginning, hereunto, to a nation... Sorry, it is to a nation, but a nation melted out and trodden down, whose land and rivers have spoiled. And later on, if we read this, and we may, they're talking about the land of Israel. These ambassadors are going to go to Israel and convert it over. The part I wanted to bring out here is these if I have it here, yeah. Second part here. So the ambassadors coming from the U.S., if you will, these are spiritual ambassadors or presenting the gospel. And a time shall present, a present be brought unto the Lord of hosts. And that's the point I wanted to get to today. We've already talked about the interpretation of this. this prophecy in our class, but we're going to be going to the house of Israel and converting them over. God's going to convert them. We're going to bring them the gospel. And but in that time, the present shall be brought unto the Lord of hosts of a people scattered and peeled, from a people terrible from their beginning hereunto, a nation melted out and trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion. So we know that this is Israel, and that's where we're going to go, and we're going to bring them in. But I wanted to talk about that present. It means a gift, an offering, and homage. And that's going to come from Israel right here in this verse. They're going to bring a present unto the Lord. And it's a kind of an unusual, this offering is not a sacrifice of animals. This offers, this present, this offering, different names for it, but it's an offering unto the Lord, and it's not, it is not of spiritual animals. It's something different. And here's another one. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, Cush, my supplicants, even the daughter of my dispersed, Israel was dispersed for, you know, 1800 years, right? Shall be bring unto mine offering. Shall bring mine offering. Sorry. All right. So not only is the land of Israel going to bring forth their offerings, but also the land from Cush, beyond the land of Cush, are going to bring forth their offering. In the day shall they not be ashamed of all their doings. So we have some ambassadors also of the house of Israel that are bringing forth this offering from this land, the land shadowing with wings. And, you know, that concept of bringing their offering forth is what I wanted to talk about. It's not burnt offerings anymore that they're talking about. What are they going to bring the Lord? And I wanted to go back a little bit, regress. Is the Lord satisfied with animal offerings? And some of this message, you know, if you're confronted with somebody from the house of Israel and they think that they have to have these sacrifices, it will lead us into what the Lord is really looking for. And you can go to probably 10 verses in the Old Testament that says, I don't like your animal sacrifices. What I'm really looking for is something else. And I think this is a good, you know, they believe in the Old Testament. And these come right out of the Old Testament, these verses. Isaiah 1:11 says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Oh, why are you doing them even? You know, they were supposed to do them, but it was supposed to lead to something else. And they were missing the main point. Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or rams or goats. So, and he goes on to tell them that they need repentance. And they need that. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for a righteous people, not a people that's going to burn sacrifices. We talked about in Sunday school. They come near, you know, with their, I did this or I did that. I guess that our brother talked about that verse today, that they were all puffed up and they weren't following the law. They were following the law, but they weren't following the substance of why he put it in there. It was to bring them closer. It was to humble them. It was to show them of the Christ that was going to come, and they missed the point. Jeremiah 6:20, to what purpose cometh me to me incest from Sheba and that sweet cane from the far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. So he's telling them that these are meaningless, these sacrifices, if they don't have the proper righteousness within them. Malachi mentions it also, what they're really supposed to be, what the Lord is looking for, and you can find this throughout the Old Testament. And and he shall sit as refiners and purer of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. And that time is coming, that the sons of Levi are coming. We read Matthew 24, that when they see this abomination of desolation, they're supposed to flee. And, of course, that's happened before, but it's going to happen again. Israel's going to be attacked. It's going to humble them. It's going to wipe out quite a few. He's going to peel off the most unrighteous and leave a core group that are going to humble themselves and come unto Jesus Christ. And that, you know, that melding process with metal, just like our process here, it's going to be with fire. And purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord. So they're going to offer it, an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as of the days of old and the former years. So he's looking for that repentance from that nation, from the house of Judah. He's looking for that repentance and that righteousness to come unto him. That's the one he's accepting. That's the one he's looking for all along. Bulls and rams mean nothing if it's not backed up with righteousness and repentance. Third Nephi, just after his resurrection. And ye shall offer up to me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away, for I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. No more animal sacrifices are being accepted at this time. And ye shall offer up to me a sacrifice unto me, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He's looking for that repentance from Israel. You know, you find Israel in our country here. The Jews are the most liberal people. Honestly, I hate to say it, but I looked in our country's leadership, and they're the most liberal people you'll find. They have to be humbled as a people, and God is the one to do it. But they will. The most humble ones will come forward. And he's looking for that broken heart and that contrite spirit. That's humbling themselves and that repentance. I found this on the web. It's, you know, to give you the picture there of what that really means. It's in the Old Testament also. The Lord, Psalms 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are broken heart and saveth such with a contrite spirit. So that's what he's looking for. Israel to be brought down. A better offering. I don't have a lot of slides today. They told me to shorten up, so I'll probably get done long before my time. Our offering unto the God and man. Mark 12:33. And to love him with all thy heart, with all thy understanding, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. So he's replacing these burnt offerings and these sacrifices, the different types of sacrifices, different types of offerings. And that's where we're going with this. You know, there's a better way, that he started from the very beginning, long before the sacrifices, I shouldn't say long before the sacrifice family, long before Israel sacrificed animals. He had already prepared the way that he was coming again. He wanted them to repent of their ways, be righteous as righteous as they could be, and he brought in a covenant right from the very beginning, right from Adam and Eve. He brought that plan of salvation forward, and he brought this other way. And Israel got it so wrong that they thought everything was in the burnt offerings and they could do what they wanted. But he's going to bring back that better sacrifices, if you will. An offering of the mouth. Here's another thing, that how we offer up is replace this burnt offerings, if you will, an offering of the mouth. Except I beseech thee of a free will offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. So David here is talking about a free will offering. Well, how's that compared to one that's not free will? First of all, you know, they were obligated to do this, and they did it. They did their animal sacrifices, and they were obligated to do it. Come to Israel three times a year, all males, present yourself, and that was mandatory, right? There's tithes and offerings. They were mandatory, and at times the priesthood would actually go out and take, you know, what was they felt was theirs because of a mandatory offering, and so. This is a free will offering, though, he's talking about here, and it's with his mouth. What does this include? What does a free will offering of a mouth include? What is that? What is it? Testimonies, okay, good. Singing, yeah. Testimonies, singing, anything else? Prayer. Anything else? Think of? Maybe not. Preaching, yeah. These are all voluntary offerings that we're offering the Lord. And that's what he's looking for. He's not looking for mandatory offerings anymore. He did away with that when he did away with the tithes. But we still have obligation for offerings. I'm not a believer in tithing. I do believe in giving money to the church as it needs it. But that tithing system was based on, it was based on a mandatory system, and it was a punishment. But he still expects us to support the church as we're doing. A living offering. Here's a real good verse. Romans 15:16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. So Paul's talking here. He's going to be preaching to the Gentiles. Ministering the gospel of God that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. Being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So what is this offering up of the Gentiles he's talking about? Anybody have any idea? Offering up of the Gentiles? What's the Gentiles offering up? You can't really get this wrong. Pardon me? Yeah. Yeah, good. Excellent. They're offering up their life unto God. And that goes well with my next... Thank you, Eric. Goes along with my next verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, that is your reasonable service. Our reasonable service, when God says, okay, I sealed you for eternity, you're one of my children, but be my ambassadors. Give me your life. And dedicate it to me, that short period of time, and you can live with me forever and ever. We can't even concept how long we're going to live for this short little duration that we serve God here, how long we're going to be blessed in the hereafter. But this is all we can see, so our minds can't wrap around forever and ever. But he says, dedicate your life to me in this life, and I'll mold you. I'll bring you into... So my image, if you do these things, and then we'll live together in happiness forever and ever and ever. And that living sacrifice, that's the offering up unto the Gentiles that he's talking about. Which brings me what we've been doing, you know. We've been either financial or work, or, you know, many of us, and we work... in a lot of different ways around the church. And I don't want to, I've got to remember that, you know, the cooks, the cleaners, and that is our offering, our living sacrifice. And that's really what he's asking for. And we're blessed because of it. But I wanted to specifically draw out the church building. We're going to start using it for those on the web. We've put... 14 foot off the back and as wide as the building was. I don't know how wide that was. But two classrooms that you can see, one on the right and one on the left. And we've been laboring. We did it pretty much all ourselves, and we have skills that I didn't know we had in the church. But we have a lot of skills on every facet of that building. And it's our living sacrifice or our offering up to God. And I want to talk about that this morning and bring light unto those that have put forth the efforts, and I appreciate it, and God appreciates it. And so I wanted to speak to that today a little bit as we are going to start using it real soon here. It's all but the finishing touches, if you will. I got to do a few outlets myself, and we're almost ready to go that we're going to start using this. Financial offerings, those that put forth that effort, and it's, let me read the Corinthians one. Of your forwardness of others to prove your sincerity of love. So that's why the church of old, and that's why this church puts forth their offerings financially, is for the good of others, you know. So Adam and Buzz can go overseas and bring others the gospel message to give them happiness and joy and that hope of eternal salvation, which they'll obtain if they want it. And that's why we put forth our offerings as financial. But this I say, he that which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his he purpose in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver. And this is not a tithe. This is a giving. And that's not what the sermon is about, but that's the financial part of it. Those that donated for the back of the church, you know, that for instance, is part of their offering. And it's just as valid, and it's even maybe more so that they put forth. Because that financial that they put forth, it represents a whole lot of work. You know, and that work translates to money, which translates to that gift offering. Okay? So I wanted to recognize that. What is the New Testament offerings? Repentance. We've talked about that. The New Testament offering is repentance. It's not sacrifices of lambs and bullocks. It's repentance. The mouth, prayer, thanksgiving, praises, songs, testimonies. Whatever out of the mouth, that's our offering up. Financial offerings to the church, to the poor. One of our greatest assets is those children that we have. And as we think about it, why did we do all this? We dedicate this labor to our future, don't we? All that we put in. At least I did. You know, that was our purpose. So that was my purpose. So this morning, this will be my last verse. I cut it short, and I really cut it short today, didn't I? Yeah, this is a statement that I wanted to make. Let me read the verse first. 2 Nephi 14:12 says this, "But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always, and faint not, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save ye first place. For in first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul." In this case, I don't want it for my welfare. You know, we see blessings every week. You know, I can see God's blessings. You know, just marvelous things, how something apart, you know, and we can perform a duty or a thing. We're given time. I see it every single week. In this case, I'm not asking the Lord to bless me for these things. I'm asking the Lord to bless our children for the time that we spent, the time that we dedicated, the money that we spent. I want that blessing, and I do believe the Lord will bless us. I want that blessing to go to the children, that they increase in wisdom, knowledge, and that he blesses them spiritually. So we're supposed to do this, and I thought it right to that we... actually have a formal dedication, if you will, that, you know, we had a groundbreaking ceremony, but we've really never said what we want the blessings to go forth. And you know, I think it was implied. Be it known unto God this day that our offerings of funds and labor for our classroom is for our children. And that's my formal statement, if you will. Who all would vote for that? Is that correct with you? Do you say yay? Yay. And I hope, you know, God witnesses. I hope to and pray, and I know you will bless our children for this, because that's what we did it for. And I thank you for that, and that's all I had today. That was formal dedication to that classroom. It's about ready to be used, and I hope and know they'll be blessed for our efforts, every one of us. Thank you for your efforts.